Okay, so we're continuing on Mitzvah of Avera. So we have two problems we left off with, right? One question is the Ramban. So the Ramban holds, when you have this thing, Mitzvah of Avera, it means a mitzvah which is enabled or brought about by an Avera, so that's not a mitzvah. So we said the main idea is that we said mitzvah is a class of activities of Avoda, which is subservience to the system of the Torah. So therefore, if the mitzvah is... it's a Ramban. As the mitzvah is founded upon Avera, the Gavra, what enabled the Gavra to doing the mitzvah was an Avera, so that's like it can't be defined as a subservience to the system because it's grounded on a break of the system. So therefore, that doesn't work. Over, you know where it is there? Okay, yeah, up on top. Yeah, the green. It says Moed on it. So that's fine. So that's the mitzvah of Avera. So the thing is, so in theory, like that's for instance, if you steal something in order to steal a lulav in order to take it, so it's mitzvah of Avera. Because what enabled the you need to own the lulav to take it. So what enabled you to do the mitzvah is the stealing it. So therefore, that's not a mitzvah. You don't fulfill the mitzvah. So what about if you eat matzah, which is tevel? So tevel is great produce which you're obligated to take off. Truma and Meisar, tithes from it. So if you didn't, before you do it, you're not allowed to eat it. There's a prohibition against eating it. So let's say you eat matzah, which is tevel. So in theory, you shouldn't fulfill it because what's enabling you to do the mitzvah is the fact that it's tevel. Is the fact that you're doing a mitzvah of achilas tevel. Right? The fact that you're violating the prohibition against eating tevel. So therefore, you shouldn't fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah. Now it turns out you don't fulfill the mitzvah, but because of a totally different reason. The Gemara cites a pasuk which says, which teaches you that you don't fulfill it because you can only do fulfill the mitzvah of matzah with that which, if you would eat it when it was leavened, you'd violate the issur of chametz. And since it's already tevel, so therefore it's not going to be the violation of chametz. Whatever, this is a technicality. But what do you need that for? Just say mitzvah of avera. Just say mitzvah of avera. So the Gemara, so the Ramban answers, this is the Ramban in Pesachim on Lamed Hay. That's the Gemara in Pesachim, Lamed Hay, Lamed Beis. It's on page Yud in the Ramban in Pesachim. So he said, in the green one, so he says, because, it's very short, I mean, he just says a few words. He says, because it's Biyado L'Sakein. Yud in Pesachim. It's Biyado L'Sakein. Because it's in your hands to fix the Teva. Which means if you take off Truma or Meiser from the Tevel, so the Isser Tevel disappears. Okay, so since you have the capability of, it's in your hands to remove the prohibition, so therefore it's not Mitzvah Avera. And he says, in a similar manner, we state that, that normally a food which is inedible is Muktzah. Okay, food which is inedible is Muktzah. So if the food is, if, for instance, tevel, so tevel should be muktzah because it's inedible, it's asur, you're not allowed to eat it. So it says, no, since it's biyado l'sakein, since you have the ability to fix it by just taking off the chumah ma'aser, so therefore it's not muktzah. So he says, in the same manner here, since you have the ability to fix it, so therefore it's not mitzvah avera. So the question is, what's the relevance? I mean, who cares that it's in your hands to fix it? Bottom line is, mitzvah avera, what's enabling your mitzvah is the avera. I mean, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, okay, so Matt's saying, so I think it follows good from what we said yesterday. I mean, it's an application of the principle we said yesterday. But, I mean, Avmina is like an old idea of Mitzvah Avera. Mitzvah Avera means that there's like a coincidence of the Mitzvah and of the Avera. So you have this Maisa Avera is a Maisa Mitzvah. So you say, look, and not only that, it's not just a coincidence, what's enabling you to do the Mitzvah of Matzah is the fact that you're eating Tevel. You wouldn't be Tevel, then you're not going to get the Mitzvah. So this is the matzah you have, and what's causing the mitzvah, the kiyum mitzvah, is the fact you're doing the maisa chilas tevel, right? And that's what you're eating. That's the matzah that you have. What's the difference between that and taking lulav, which is gazal, which is stolen, and eating matzah, which is tevel? So the answer is it's biyado l'sakein. So what is biyado l'sakein? So biyado l'sakein means is that really at any moment you have the ability to take off the trumas maestros and to remove the status of tevel. In which case it would be kosher. So it's not like this food is intrinsically treif, not kosher. You could take off the truma ma'aser at this very moment. So now, what's causing you to do the mitzvah is, But now the Avera, there happens to be that you don't care about Davos. You're not going to take off Chumas Maestros or whatever. So you just decide to be a bad guy. And now you just eat it straight away without doing Chumas Maestros. But you can't say that the Avera is that which is causing the mitzvah. I mean, the mitzvah is the mitzvah. And you could have done the mitzvah. You've done the mitzvah anyways. It's in the mitzvah without the Avera. So it's not like the mitzvah is enabled by the Avera. The mitzvah is not enabled by the Avera. The mitzvah is enabled by the fact that you have matzah in front of you, which is capable of being tithed. Now, the fact that you did the Avera is totally an accidental thing. That you just decided not to tithe it, but it doesn't make the mitzvah the rooted in the Avera, grounded in the Avera. So therefore, he's saying that's not mitzvah of Avera. So if you didn't have Yadol Sakin, if you didn't, this was like a permanent Esser, that was totally unremovable, so then you'd say that you basically have matzah. The only matzah you have is treif. And what the only way you're able to do this mitzvah is if you eat treif. So then you'll say that the Esser is enabling the mitzvah. So this mitzvah is always being accomplished only through the Avera, and it's essentially caused by the fact that you're doing the Avera. But again, if it's Biyadol Sakin and it's capable of removing it, so then what's causing you the mitzvah, the Avera is not enabling the mitzvah, so then the mitzvah is just the presence of this object. Right? Now, the Chiddush is though, so why do you have to bring a Muktzah? So you have to bring a Muktzah is because you may say Tevel is Esser, Tevel is Treif. The fact that in theory, I can take Rosh Hashanah is like an extraneous thing. You may say that doesn't register halachically. It's hard, it's maybe I don't want to. You have all kinds of reasons why you say it's not Biyadol and Yantef, whatever it is. But he's showing you see from Muktzah, if it really weren't considered Biyadol Sakin at this very moment, so then it would have been Muktzah. Or at least on Yantef, it would have been Muktzah. But you see, apparently it is Biyadol Sakin in this one, that's why it's not Muktzah, because it's not removed from your usage, because you could, at any moment, you could just be, take off Chumah. So by the same logic, at any moment, you could remove the Hashem Avera. Right? So the Ramban is rooted in the same concept. It's not a new idea in Mitzvah of Avera, which we're getting from this Ramban, because it's the same idea that we had yesterday based on Kriya, right? Because by the Kriya, ripping the shirt, it's not like the ripping the Avera was causing the Mitzvah. You could have waited till tomorrow. You just happened to the Gavra Hu Gufa. It's the Prince of the Shalom, he said. That you yourself are the one who's doing the Avera. It's not the Mitzvah is intrinsically rooted in the Avera. So it's the same principle of the Yishalmi. It's just the Ramban is... Ramban quotes the Yishalmi earlier in the piece. I mean, he references it. He doesn't talk about it in depth, but he references it. But I think he's answering, it's a new application of that principle to the area of Tevel. Which is good. I mean, it's good. If you have a principle that's over and it ends up explaining more particulars, then that indicates that we're on a good track. Not every application has to be the same, has to be a whole new, whole new answer, a whole new idea. See, if we would have presented it originally as here's all our questions, and then we would have one answer them all, then it would have been satisfactory. Now that we already answered one, then the one's not a new idea, so you don't feel as satisfied about saying the same answer again. See, so I should have presented it that way. Okay, so this is good, so fine. So that's that. The next thing is then the Ramban, I mean, further in the same Ramban, but it's also Tosfos and Sukkah on Tass, I think, I'm a Beis, says that the Aleph. So they say that the whole halacha of mitzvah avera, the halacha of mitzvah avera is only a drabban. So if you want to know why do you need a limud, a pasuk to teach me that you could be do the mitzvah that matzah of tevel isn't good, why don't you say it's impossible because mitzvah avera? The answer is simple, because mitzvah avera is only a drabbanon, and the raisa you can't use tevel. Right? I mean, the Ramban anyways likes his answer to Biyadol Sakin, but he says it's not a question altogether. Because since Mitzvah Avera is a new Darabban, the Ramban created the halacha of Mitzvah Avera, so you can't ask a question of why does the Pasuk have to teach you the thing isn't good. The Pasuk is the Deraisa. This is just the Darabbanon. Right? Okay. So that's the answer. So the question though is what's it's the Gemara quotes Pesukim, right? Our Gemara quotes Pesukim that God hates gazelles, the thievery, and carbonos, and you're going to bring the all these terrible things, the lame animal, and the what's it called, that animal, and the stolen animal. Is this God? Is God going to find the favor in this? So I mean, all these things seem to indicate that it's really from Pesukim. So he says, no, that's just an asmachta. It's just an asmachta. Which means is that Rabbanon are leaning it on these psukim. But the halachically the Raisa, they're no, there's no. It's true. They don't sound like. I mean, they're psukim the Navi. It's not like it's in the Torah. They sound like they're talking about the Derech Musa or whatever. But I mean, others learn. Some learn this really they're teaching halacha deraisa. But you learn it's referencing halacha deraisa. But I mean, they're saying apparently deraisa. Apparently deraisa according to these shitas, right? According to the Ramban, let's say, or Torah Tosfos, deraisa. You say, look, a mitzvah is a mitzvah, and the fact that it happens to be built on avera is like extraneous. Mitzvah is a mitzvah. Halachically, it's not a good idea to do averas in order to do mitzvahs. It's a corrupt way of life to steal things to bring karbanos. But halachically, you'd be 100% fulfill the mitzvah. Because it's history. History is history. It doesn't disqualify your mitzvah because of bad history. So if that's the case, that's fine. That's the deraisa. Deraisa, that's what he holds. Like we talked about yesterday, the guy who held Dain mitzvah avera. This is not an avera, this is a mitzvah. In fact, the avera is a different thing. So that's all fine. But the question is, so what's the Rabbanon? What the Rabbanon just said, oh, you know what? We don't like this philosophically, so it's possible. Like, how do the Rabbanon can't just... I mean, the Torah said, it's fine. The Torah said, halachically, it's history. So halacha said it doesn't register, the Torah. So now what the Rabbanon are saying is, oh, no, it does. I mean, what's the role, what's the place of the Chachamim? I mean, how do you understand that it seemed to be a halachic question which the Torah should pass judgment on this? Does the status of Avodah register in the mitzvah, and is it create a contradiction? Or do you say, no, it's not, and once the Torah says it isn't, well, who are the Rabbanim to just start changing things? Right? I mean, the role of the Chacham usually is like a protector of the Torah, something like that. Right? So how do you understand mitzvah of Avera if you say that it's a Rabbanim? Okay, so I'm thinking kind of like Danny is pointing towards, which is that the Rabbanon's role is to protect the Torah. Okay, so certain things lead a person to violating the Torah. Right? A person eats milk and chicken, so then he's going to end up eating meat and milk. Right? Because the person confuses milk and chicken. Okay? So that's one type of thing. You know, where a person rides a horse on Shabbos, or he may rip off a branch and whip the horse, whatever. But there's like another type of something that could lead to a person doing averos. Which is like, what prevents a person from doing averos, for a large part, the average person? What prevents a person from doing averos? So it's certain, in general, I mean, it depends on the person, but a large thing is like a certain guilt, conscience, superego, whatever you want to call it. And a person feels like it's wrong, right? He feels fear, whatever you want to call it. But a person kind of feels like he wants to be a good person. He wants to be in good standing before God. And in doing so that's a strong impetus for a person to do mitzvahs and to stay away from averos, right? And to recognize that. I mean, a person, like, there's an idea of an Oved Mira, a person doing the mitzvahs out of fear. Fear can mean like on whatever level it is. I mean, whatever psychological factors, not necessarily because of a pure appreciation of the truth of mitzvahs. And even a person who has that, I mean, a person has emotions also, and a person, you know, has it's a part of a person's psychology that he doesn't do averos, or he keeps the Torah based on certain emotions, and to recognize that, and that's good. It's important that a person has to be able to restrict himself, and with the different emotions a person has will help him restrict himself. Now, what's dangerous is, and this is why this I think a common phenomenon, is that you could see, for instance, people who could be very, very, very righteous people, seemingly, and yet they could do terrible things, right? Or maybe they're involved in terrible money laundering types of things, or, you know? You say, how could it be that these people are so righteous, you know, so scrupulous about the performance of every minutia of halacha, right, which, you know, perhaps they are, presumably they are, and at the same time, they're able to do such, all kinds of averos, right? And so I know a guy who's a lawyer. He told me that he has clients who are like these, from, you know, a lot of these, you know, the more religious Jews, you know, and they say, like, he's like, here he is, he's defending a guy who's like on fraud charges, money laundering, and he asks him, so do you have Chol Yisrael milk, perhaps? You know, like he's asking for, you know, like a chumrah in these things, yes, he's involved in terrible things. Gzela. So, but I think it's not the contradiction. Is oftentimes it's exactly. It's not like two opposites coexisting, but almost it's like it explains it. How could a guy do such terrible things? Because he feels like he's such a good person, and therefore psychologically, like what prevents a normal person from stealing is because he'd feel like a lowlife. But since this guy is so religious, he's not going to feel like a lowlife. You know, he doesn't feel like a lowlife. He feels like a very good person. He's involved in Torah. He's involved in mitzvahs. He's stealing to give it to God. He's stealing this stuff and breaking karbanos. So you could justify and legitimize a person's theft, and that's what the Navi is exactly criticizing. That they take these things, and they take these karbanos, they steal things from other people and say, oh, give it to God, pay God off. You know, and a person feels like here he is, he's in good favor before God, and now he has the ability to do terrible things. I mean, it's not Judaism, it's any religion. I mean, religious people could do the most corrupt things because it's in the name of religion. So it means that psychologically, when a person feels like, feels religious, religion and religious satisfaction could allow or justify a person and allow him to do terrible things. Right? And that's, again, that's the exactly what Navi's criticizing. Let's just say God is sone gezel v'ola. It means God hates gezel and ola, which means that philosophically that's corrupt. And God, a person who does that is really a totally corrupt person. It's not really a recognition of God. He's not, his mitzvah isn't really worth anything, philosophically. Because philosophically he's not really recognizing God. He's just his own thing. He's just doing the mitzvah in order to please him, to make himself feel good about himself so he can justify doing his corruption. So of course, philosophically, saying God hates that person. I mean, the person is, that's what the Navi is rebuking the person. It says, you're doing because you want to feel good about yourself. No, God hates these types of things. So what it means is that it's tries to undermine the thing by showing is that the Navi is rebuking them. Says, you think God wants us? This isn't, he's trying to undermine their religious satisfaction, because now that if they don't have that satisfaction, then perhaps they're not going to do the gzela. So the idea, though, is that, but that's again philosophically. Apparently, halachically, deoraisa, the mitzvah is good. The mitzvah is a mitzvah. So even though philosophically it's not a good mitzvah, halachically it's a mitzvah tilsulov. But the bottom line is that the Rabbanan saw that by that being a fulfillment of a mitzvah, by so to speak, given that the halacha is that it's a fulfillment of a mitzvah, so the person is going to justify averas through doing averas for the purpose of mitzvah. If they recognize the tendency in man to justify averas and to enable the doing of averas in order to through utilizing the avera to accomplish a mitzvah. Okay, that's how a person could, so to speak, sanctify his death. You know, he's giving it to a yeshiva. He's giving it to a whatever. So you know, giving a percentage of the yeshiva. So look, it's so good after all. Taking it from the government to giving it to a yeshiva. So that's somehow come at kind of like doing God's service. So the saying is that the Rabbanon recognize the danger in this, and then they realize they really have to protect the Torah. So it leads to that also leads to, just like riding a horse on Shabbos could lead to an avera, or eating milk and chicken could lead to avera. This halacha, this phenomenon, this society, socialist, psychological phenomenon of people using averas in order to do mitzvahs. You know, or using mitzvahs in order to justify averas leads to averas. So what the Rabbanon did is that they simply said mitzvah avera is not a mitzvah. They disqualified. They said that there's no kima mitzvah in mitzvah avera. Okay, and in doing so, they now a person will no longer have his satisfaction and his method of accomplishing his avera. Right, and now he's no longer going to be able to do that. Because, so again, what justifies his stealing is the fact that he's doing a mitzvah with it. But if halachically he has no kima mitzvah whatsoever, and he knows that, so then basically he's not going to be able to steal. Or he's not going to have any justification. But look, of course, some people are still going to be able to do it anyways. But in other words, he's not going to be able to, halacha can't, by setting it up halachically, that it's that there's no kiyam, so that's an attempt at a protection of the Torah. To basically to prevent people from using the Torah in that way. Prevent people from using the Torah in order to justify the theft and whatever other avera it is. Yes, exactly. Right, exactly. It's not a gedder and lulav. Lulav is perfectly fine. But it's good, because Geder is usually against Yisurim, against Avera. That's the difference. Is if you look at it, if it's a Deoraisa, that means the formulation of mitzvah is such that the mitzvah isn't can't tolerate it. You know. But if Deoraisa says it's good, so mitzvah is fine. But it's the Rabbanon, is in order to protect Gezela, in order to protect the other Averas, the Rabbanon said is that the mitzvah has no kiyam. That a mitzvah which is grounded in this thing has no kiyam. It's a good question, like, how do they do that? By what mechanism? They just say it's no kiyam? By the way, I mean, this is good, though, why it is that, based on the svaras we've been saying, is that the halachic formulation of the mitzvah of Avera is that a mitzvah, it's where the mitzvah is enabled through his Avera. The Avera is enabling his mitzvah, right? In terms of the Gavra. So it's good why that's the case here again. Because the framework is that he's using his mitzvah, he's justifying his Avera by saying, look, this Avera enabled me to do the mitzvah. You know what I mean? So if the mitzvah was enabled by the Avera, so then he was able to do it essentially because of the mitzvah, so then because of the Avera, so then that's how a person justifies it. So that's why the proper formulation in this framework is that a mitzvah which is caused, enabled by the avera of the person, it has no status of mitzvah. Right, and this also makes sense. It can be formulated in terms of the gavra, not like by the chafza or the maisa, or you know, because I mean? The whole idea is the framework of the gavra. You don't want the gavra to bring about a mitzvah through averas. You know, maybe the idea is like this: is that the oraisa. The mitzvah, the maisa mitzvah, is defined independent of the, you know, the sabbath din avoda. Maisa mitzvah, take a look, but it does lack in the gavra ha'oved, like the idea of the gavra being an oved Hashem, is supporting himself to the system, is lacking because it's rooted in avera. But halachically, the kiyam ha'mitzvah is not dependent upon the gavra ha'oved. It's simply formulated in terms of the maisa mitzvah, to fulfill the form of the mitzvah, then you did the mitzvah. So it doesn't, of course it's lacking. I mean, you can't say that the gavra of Oda isn't lacking, but halachically, the mitzvah's asay, the fulfillment of the asay is not contingent upon the gavra oved being in full form. It's not, so it's a lack in the gavra oved, but it doesn't undermine the kiyam ha'mitzvah. The mitzvah is formulated independent of the gavra oved. But the Rabbanon are saying that if the gavra oved is contradicted, so then that's a psalm. So they said is that that of the phenomenon, they're not creating the idea of the gavra oved. There's definitely an idea in the gavra oved in the mitzvah. The question of the raisa is does the fact that the gavra oved is lacking because he's building into it the avera, does that undermine the very kiyam ha'mitzvah or not? So, I mean, the Rishon would say, yes, once the Gavra Oved is compromised, then there's no mitzvah. The mitzvah is built upon the Din Avoda. But according to the others, they say, no, maisa mitzvah. And the Gavra Oved, the Avoda, is lacking, but look, halachically, the mitzvah is independent. But then the Rabbanan introduced the psal, that insofar as the Gavra Oved is lacking, that's a posel of the mitzvah. That's that's a disqualifier of the mitzvah. Creates a disqualification. At the very least, I mean, I'm not getting into the question whether or not ipso facto you don't have a fulfillment deraisa. I mean, that's a different question, is how the Rabbanan set it up. Do they somehow undermine the very kiyam deraisa, or they just say, like, halachically, the person is still chayav? What does it mean, this psul? Halachically, if you did it, you're still chayav to do it. Which means that in terms of they have control over the halachic system. The halachic system is your avachi of lulav. Now, your chi of lulav is not dispensed, you still have a chi of lulav. You know, according to the Torah, do you have a chiv lulav? Well, there's no such thing according to the Torah. The question is, according to the halachic system, do you have a chiv lulav? And they're saying you still have a chiv lulav, because they've created an example of a disqualification of the lulav agazel. So now it's possible. It's not good. So I don't really want to answer the question. So what would the Torah say? I'm not sure that that's even a question, but I don't know. But certainly, in terms of that's different. I think it's a different topic, which I think it talks about in the beginning of Brachos. They talk about it, like the Rishonim, and if you say Kriya Shema too late. But whatever. The point is that it's a psal. I mean, the Ramban, I'm just going with the Ramban. The reason I'm saying a psal is because the Ramban says psal. So I'm just going with what he says. His formula is a psal. It's a psula de Rabbanan. So that's a psula, and he says, Akra de Kabbalah mismechlai. It means they're leaning it on the Pasuk and the Navi. So the Pasuk and the Navi reveals to you there's an idea of a Gavra of an Avodah, and this is a contradiction of the Gavra of an Avodah. So they're using the Pasuk and the Navi to show you the idea of the Gavra as an involved in the Avodah. But that's just a philosophical idea. Or it's a halakhic reality, but it's not, that it doesn't undermine the mitzvah. The Rabbanan are taking that and they're formalizing it as a posa.
You
wouldn't get those status. It's true. And then he's making a point. I mean, even if the Raisa technically, you'd say maybe the guy would be outside. But bottom line is, the guy's going to still take lulav. So after the guy takes his stone lulav, we'll say to the guy, hey, the rabbi's going to say, listen, it's very nice to take lulav, but you still have to take it. So, I mean, that's what a mitzvah means. I mean, the religious satisfaction of the thing, they're going to have to do it again. I mean, so what, on some theoretical abstract level, the Raisa on the outside, like, well, that doesn't mean anything. That's what I'm saying. I don't even know if it means anything. What does that mean? Do you have the Raisa points? So I'm not sure if that's actually even a question. Could just be, there's no thing like that. The question is, what is mitzvah lulav? And mitzvah lulav means, as the halachic system tells you, mitzvah lulav. And if it's a psal, then it's a psal, so then it's not mitzvah lulav. So you can't just pretend that the Rabban didn't exist. The Rabban did exist. And they gave you the Torah, and you al pi Torah sheirucha. So the Rabban, you have to follow the Torah according to the Rabban. So the Rabban are defining it, so then they're saying that's not mitzvah lulav. So you say, well, pretend the Rabban didn't exist. They do exist. And now you haven't filled the mitzvah, and you have to take it again. I mean, anyways, what does it mean, I filled the mitzvah? Halachically, what does it mean? I mean, this is always a tricky discussion, but, once you knock out the point system, I'm never sure about this. I definitely know mitzvah doesn't mean you get points. But, does it mean, is there something to say halachically there's a kiyum mitzvah? Where, all that means is you don't have to do it again. You don't still have to do it. When I fulfilled my mitzvah, I took my lulav, and I'm yotzei, what does that mean? It means, halachically, I don't have to do it anymore. I've dispensed my obligation. You know what I mean? I'm not an avarion. But what do you say, is there a halachic reality which registers of the kiyum mitzvah? I'm not really sure, I'm not sure what that means exactly. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, But sometimes I kind of doubt, sometimes I always wonder when those questions come up. I wonder if I'm just reverting to a point mentality and asking the question, or is that actually a legitimate halachic, but whatever. For this sugya, it doesn't really matter, So it's a whole different idea of mitzvah avera. I mean, it's a good idea. The point you pointed it out is good. It's in terms of if you say it's deraisa, it's really intrinsically a din, and it's a mitzvah sukkah. And the mitzvah lulav, and the mitzvah. The mitzvah isn't mitzvah. According to the second way, I mean, it's true, halachically, it's a psal in the mitzvah, but it's rooted in the avera. It's a siyag, it's a protection. I mean, that's what you have to think about. It's a protection. What are they protecting? I guess that's what you were thinking of, is they're trying to say, protecting the integrity of the conceptual formulation of the mitzvah. But that's hard, you'd rather say they're protecting the system from violation, from people, And it's interesting is the Rabbanan are astute in realizing that protecting a system is sometimes more rooted, less rooted in particular actions and more rooted in an attitude and in a psychology. You know what I mean? So a siyag, I can't remember the siyag we did it in, but a siyag could sometimes be that they protect the integrity of the Yom HaShabbos, and therefore a person is not going to violate the Raisa. Even though it's not necessarily tied to a particular violation, but if Shabbos becomes a day of chol, a weekday, maybe a meal akam comes up, if Shabbos is a weekday, people are going to violate the Raisas. So it's not necessarily tied in. I mean, they're running and are thoughtful in what's necessary to make protections and what things are going to lead to danger. Not always, it's not always tied in, this action leads to this action. It's an attitude. And it could be that sometime in history, because I'll realize that the Navi is talking about, there's a danger of people who are doing this. So in order to help get people back on track, they made a point of making this sort of disqualify. But that is Ramban's point. So now you can't ask me, why does the Torah have to disqualify these things? Because Mitzvah Avera is only a Pesul of the Ramban. Right? Okay, good. So what we're going to do next, is Shmuel. So let me just show you this is kind of interesting, actually. So the Gemara at the Big Kasha is that I understand, basically, why is it Lulav HaGozel is possible on the second day? Because Shaul isn't possible on the second day. If it's borrowed, it's kosher on the second day, because you don't have to own it. So then why, if it's stolen, is it possible? So the Gemara answer is Mitzvah Avera. But further down on the page, you have, so it's basically, Pliga de Rav Yitzchak. The Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachmeni, Amar Shmuel, Lo Shon Al-Yantaf Rishon, Al-Yantaf Sheni, Vitil Shetzvishol Yotzinam Vigazel. So he says, no, on the second day, it's just like you could fulfill a mitzvah with a stolen, with a borrowed lulav on the second day. You could use a stolen lulav on the second day. So Shmuel holds you could use a stolen lulav on the second day. First day you can't, but the first day it's not yours. So of course you can't even use a borrowed one. So the question is, what about mitzvah lulav era? Right? How could he hold that you fulfill the what about mitzvah lulav era? So Tosus says, the bottom Tosus is very short. He says, "Hacha dafka shehu midrabanan lo chayish mitzvah lavaver." Here, since it's a derabanan, on the second day it's a mitzvah derabanan, so he's not worried about mitzvah lavaver. Shmuel's holding that in derabanan, in the fulfillment of mitzvah derabanan, you don't have the psula of mitzvah lavaver. Only in deraisos you have it. Okay. Different than we were talking about today. Today we were talking about whether the concept of mitzvah lavera is rooted in deraisa or derabanan. This is saying, whatever, forget about that for a second. But where does it apply? If I do a mitzvah derabanan through avera, is that a disqualification of the mitzvah derabanan? Or is it only a disqualification of mitzvah deraisa? If the second day, when taking a lulav is a derabanan, I steal a lulav and do it, do you say that disqualifies my mitzvah because of avera? You say, no, it's only mitzvah derabanan anyway, so lo chayesh, he's not worried. He's not worried about mitzvah lavera. Why is he not worried? I don't know, it's only Darabonon. So, right? So what? I mean, this is the way a lot of the Rishonim learn this Machukas in Shmuel. Some learn that Shmuel doesn't hold Mitzvah Aver altogether. It's another way to learn Shmuel. He just doesn't hold by it. But the Tosus isn't learning that way. Now, I would think that whether, how you define this, whether or not Mitzvah Aver applies by the Raisas or even the Darabonons, would depend upon whether you learn the principle of Mitzvah Aver is the Raisa principle or the Darabonon principle. Would seem, I mean, perhaps at least, you know, because it's a whole different idea. The concept is different. So I mean, I don't know which way Tosus is going. I mean, they're different Tosusim. Tosus on this page seems as the Araisa, but there's Tosusim, for instance, there's another Tosus in Tass seems to hold the Rabbana. So I don't know. I mean, I think I basically have a spar for both ways. But you know, you could do take a pick whichever way you want. But the question is, Machlokes says whether or not Psalmist of Aver applies only by the Raisa or even the Rabbanans. Okay, so that should keep us busy.